But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over the judgment and the love of God. Well, these things ye ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently, and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him, and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Luke chapter number 11 in your Bibles this morning as we continue our study of the Gospel of Luke and listen to the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus had so many wise things that he said and taught. And that which we hear today is certainly in that category. Exposing hypocrisy is the subject of the story in the life of Jesus Christ this morning. Hypocrisy. You know, hypocrisy is rooted deep in the Greek theater. If you travel to the ancient Greek and Roman world, you will find Greek theaters all over the place, like the one that's here in front of you right now. You'll find the ruins of Greek theaters all over the Greek and Roman world. The Greeks perfected the entertainment of theater. And hypocrisy was rooted deeply into those theaters. As a matter of fact, it was rooted right down deeply into the dressing room of those theaters. This next screen shows you a picture of the ruins of a Greek theater, a Roman theater actually, that was patterned after the Greek theaters in Bethshean. And this is a picture that I took earlier this summer. Our group is wandering around the ruins there in Bethshean. Bethshean is a city that's near the Jordan River between Jericho and the Sea of Galilee. It was an important city. It goes way back into the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, when Saul and Jonathan lost their lives in a battle on Mount Gilboa, their corpses were taken to this city, Bethshean, nailed to the walls in desecration of their bodies. And that occurred here in this city of Bethshean. Well, the city ended up being destroyed and years later was rebuilt. And by the time Jesus Christ was living his life and ministry in Israel, The city had been rebuilt by the Romans, and the Romans had developed it into one of the, perhaps the greatest city of Israel, of that part of the world. The Romans built a 8,000 seat theater, a portion of which can be visited as we were visiting, a portion of that theater. The stage area, if it were rebuilt, it would go up in colonnades about three levels high, just soaring up into the sky, surrounded by 8,000 seats. And people would go there to be entertained, to watch the theater. And the Greek theater gave us the concept of hypocrite. You see, a hypocrite was a person who put on a mask. To this day, we can study the masks of the Greek theater. This next picture, this one shows you some of the ancient masks of the Greek and Roman theaters. The actors would go backstage and they would put on a costume and they would put on a mask. And they would come out onto the Greek stage and they would act a part that was not who they were as a person. They were an actor. They were a hypocrite. And the English word hypocrite comes from this word for an actor on the Greek stage. And they were called hypocrites because they put on masks and they acted out a part that was not true of who they really were as a person. The outward was a show and did not reflect the inner reality of the person who was wearing the mask. We're just going to leave those masks up on the screen throughout the message this morning because I want you to see those masks, and I want them to just be seated in your mind. This is what Jesus Christ was talking about in the text that we read a few moments ago. He was talking about people who put on a mask and act a part. People whose outward show does not reflect the inner reality of who that person really was on the inside. Jesus Christ constantly dealt with hypocrites in Israel, particularly religious hypocrites. And it was the religious hypocrites of Israel that received the most scathing sermons that Jesus Christ preached. When you study the Gospels and when you read the sermons of Jesus Christ, you find that his most severe denunciations were leveled against religious hypocrites. People who put on masks and acted a part in public that did not reflect the reality of who they really were as a person. Jesus spoke frankly to hypocrites. He spoke frankly about hypocrites. And Jesus' clear teaching enables us to know what God thinks about hypocrites. If you're a hypocrite, you'll learn this morning what God thinks about you. Because Jesus spoke clearly and plainly to religious hypocrites. The message this morning, the bluff, the bottom line up front, is that God is looking for reality in people. He wants the outside to match the inside. He wants to see on the outside what you are on the inside. He wants you to be transparent and real. And when Jesus Christ sees religious people with a mask acting in public in a way that is inconsistent with what they watch on the internet at 1 o'clock in the morning, Jesus has some pretty strong words to say to that type of person. Jesus is exposing hypocrisy. And so the question this morning is this: are you a hypocrite? Are you a hypocrite? Do you have a mask on this morning? Does what we see this morning in your life and actions and the words that you say consistent or inconsistent with what the people at work know you to be? Or what your children in the home know you to be? Or what your neighbor knows you to be? Does your mask this morning reveal who you are as a person, or is it carefully put on to make you look like something and somebody that you really aren't at all? Exposing hypocrisy. Well, we are on Sunday morning studying through the Gospel of Luke, this amazing historian studying the life of Jesus Christ, the greatest historian of the New Testament, and we're learning what he studied and learned and recorded about Jesus Christ as a defense of New Testament Christianity to a new believer, Theophilus, to give credibility to the confidence we have in the person of Jesus Christ. We have come to the 11th chapter of Luke, and we now are within a few months of Jesus Christ's crucifixion. And we have followed Jesus around Galilee and now down to Judea, around Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ is preparing the disciples for his crucifixion. And in this latter half of chapter 11, Jesus Christ is spending some time with some religious hypocrites. And he confronts them with their hypocrisy. What we read here in Luke 11 is not new material. Jesus had taught this same material. He had taught these same things earlier up in Galilee. You can find them. In fact, I meant to read one of them as our scripture reading. Chad was probably turned up Luke chapter or Matthew. Mark 7. He was up here with Mark 7 ready for me to read Mark 7, 1 to 13. And then I got up and read Luke 11. And he probably thought, what in the world is Dad doing this morning? And you can read in Mark chapter 7 and you can read in Matthew chapter 15 the account of Jesus Christ teaching on this same subject up in Galilee earlier in his ministry when he was speaking on the subject of hypocrisy. Now, later in his ministry, down actually in Jerusalem, Jesus Christ does not merely speak about the subject of hypocrisy, but now he presents and exposes the hypocrisy of the religious leaders in Jerusalem to another level. Now, this isn't going to be the last time Jesus is going to address this. Actually, in a few months, in the time frame of the New Testament, maybe a couple of years for us as we go through the Gospel of Luke, but on Tuesday of Crucifixion Week, Tuesday, Palm Sunday, Monday, the day of authority when he went into the temple and he made a whip and he drove out the money changers and kicked over their tables and said, "Get out of here. You've made my father's house a den of thieves." That was Monday, the day of authority. Well, the next day on Tuesday, the religious hypocrites leading the religion of Judaism were hot. They were hot in a firecracker. They met Jesus Christ on Tuesday morning. "What do you think you did yesterday? What right do you have to come into the temple?" That was their turf. These are the religious leaders that operated there every day. "What right do you have to come on our turf, kick over our tables, drive our people out?" And Jesus Christ preached what you read in Matthew 23, which is this subject on steroids. Is this subject taken to a new level? As Jesus Christ on Tuesday of Crucifixion Week speaks to the religious leaders in their own turf, on their own turf, about the hypocrisy of their religious lives. We find that in Galilee, in Mark 7, Jesus Christ said this, "Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites." In Matthew's account, in Matthew 15, Jesus said, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you." In our text, in verse number 44, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Fast forward to the Temple Mount on Tuesday of Crucifixion Week. In Matthew 23, you'll read that Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." And then he said it again and again and again and again and again and again. 7 times, Matthew 23, Jesus looked into the face, into the eyes of the religious leaders, the priests, the preachers, the ones who led Judaism. And Jesus looked into their eyes and said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, you hypocrites!" And he said it 7 times. So up in Galilee, in Jerusalem, in the home of a Pharisee, and later on the Temple Mount itself, Jesus Christ addressed, confronted, and condemned religious hypocrisy in the leadership of Israel. The subject is hypocrisy. We're in the middle of those 3 times. Galilee's in the past. Temple Mount is in the future. We're in the middle of the 3 times the New Testament records Jesus dealing with such hypocrisy. Jesus is looking for reality. He's looking for transparency. And so he exposes the hypocrisy of these individuals. You see, God's children are different than religious hypocrites. Religious hypocrites put on a mask to make you think they're holy. They put on a mask and they act religious. They put on a mask and they put on a show that they're good, when in their heart, they are wicked. But God comes into the heart of a person and makes them His child, and He changes them so that they're no longer in their heart wicked and sinful, living out a show of goodness in front of their friends or neighbors. God's children have been saved. They have come to God and recognize the inner corruption of their heart. They've come to grips and admitted, "I am a sinner." They have put themselves at the disposal of God, and God has come into their life and transformed them. Saved them by His grace. Washed their sin away. Changed their heart. So no longer are they a hypocrite with a wicked heart. They're transformed. The Holy Spirit has exposed their deep heart sinfulness. They've repented of their sin, and God has converted them. He has changed them. He has saved them from their sin. And God is looking for His children to live out the reality of that changed life, the reality of that converted heart. And when God sees people with a mask of religion acting out a part that is not reflective of their heart, then God calls them to account. Jesus found religious people all over Israel who were yet unconverted. They were yet unchanged. But they covered their sinful hearts with religion. They covered their sinful hearts with tradition. They covered their sinful hearts with outward conformity to rules. They checked the right boxes. They looked right on the outside. They had kept the traditions of their parents and grandparents that said, if you're a Christian, here's how to live. They had carefully constructed a facade on the outside of tradition and religious goodness that hid from view the reality of the corruption of their heart. They were yet sinful and unconverted and unchanged. Deeply sinful to the core of their being. And Jesus is addressing that. He's addressing this hypocrisy by exposing it here in Luke 11. After He exposes it, we're looking at it this morning, He's then going to warn His disciples to stay away from such hypocrites. Just flip a page over to chapter 12, verse number 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they began to trode one upon the other, he began to say unto his disciples, he spoke to his disciples. First thing he said was, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. You see, in our text this morning, Jesus Christ is exposing hypocrisy. As soon as he finishes exposing it, he'll get his own disciples around and he will warn them to have nothing to do with religious hypocrites, lest they become impacted by them. So how does Jesus Christ expose hypocrisy? How is Jesus going to deal with the subject of hypocrisy? Well, in our text, we're going to see three actions and one result. Three actions and one result. Three actions that Jesus takes, and then we'll see what the impact is. We'll see what the result of that is after Jesus Christ performs these three actions. Look with me in verse number 37 of our text. Verse number 37, and as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. So Jesus has been teaching here in Jerusalem in chapter 11, and now a Pharisee wants him to come over to his house for a meal. So a Pharisee asked Jesus, would you come over to my house? We'd like to serve a meal. We'd like to have you in our home. We'd like to entertain you, have you in our home. And so Jesus Christ went into the home. He went into the home of this Pharisee to be able to enjoy a meal. This was very much a part of the custom of Jewish people. They were very hospitable people. This Pharisee invited Jesus in. He probably had a number of people there. He probably had others there. As Jesus got into this story, the Bible says that one of the lawyers spoke up. And so it's not just Jesus and a Pharisee. It's just not two people. There's probably a whole room full of people that the Pharisee has had over to his home to provide a meal, to fellowship, to talk, to learn. And so there, Jesus Christ comes in. He agrees to come. So Jesus Christ comes into the person's home. Now the Bible says in verse number 37 that when Jesus Christ went in, he sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee, and when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Jesus didn't wash his hands before he sat down at the table. In that culture, it would have been a low table and there would have been mats and they would have all reclined on the mats with their head and shoulders at the table and their legs stretched out behind them as they reclined at the table. Jesus Christ had gone and taken the place that the Pharisee had directed him to, and Jesus Christ had taken his place around the table. But the Pharisee realized he had not washed his hands. Now, every one of you children know that when mom calls you to dinner, you're supposed to wash your hands before you come to dinner. Because your mom wants your hands to be clean before you touch food and put it in your mouth. She cares about your health. It's called sanitation. That has nothing to do with what is being talked about here. Jesus did not wash his hands to be sanitary. He did not wash his hands to make sure there was no bacteria on his hands. This had nothing to do with sanitation. It had nothing to do with a polite way of making sure your hands are clean so that you don't eat dirt as you eat your food. As a matter of fact, if you read what I was going to read as the scripture reading from Mark chapter 7, it is explained more fully. The Jewish people had developed a whole series of traditions. The traditions had to do with how to appear publicly as being morally clean. And so their traditions required that before they ate a meal, they took some water and they poured it over the tips of their fingers to indicate that they are portraying themselves as being a person who is morally clean, ceremonially clean, undefiled. And they had all kinds of customs about washing dishes and platters and making sure. And they did all this in order to show, none of it is in the Bible. None of it is recorded as an instruction in the Bible for people to do. This is the man-made religion. This is the made-up stuff. God never told them to wash their hands before they ate. God never told them to wash the platter before they served a meal with it. This is all man-made stuff. It's all man-made religion that man conjured up, and then it became something they did regularly, and then it became something that they passed on from generation to generation, and it had become the religious tradition of the Jewish people. This Pharisee noticed that Jesus Christ did not follow their religious traditions. He did not jump through their religious hoops. He came to the table and rejected the tradition of pouring the water over his fingertips to show that he is a moral religious person. In other words, the first action Jesus took is he ignored man-made tradition. He ignored man-made tradition. Jesus did not play the game of tradition. I find a lot wrong with tradition in our religious world today. There are churches and denominations and there are groups that develop traditions. We don't read about them anywhere in the Bible. But yet they have become doctrine. If you read Matthew's account of this up in the Sea of Galilee and Mark's account of this up in the Sea of Galilee, a statement comes out. Jesus said, you make void the doctrine of God by your tradition. See, when you make up man-made stuff and give it the power of the Word of God, you have slighted the Word of God by your man-made tradition. Jesus had nothing to do with that. Jesus cared about truth. He didn't care about religion. He ignored man-made religion. And he went to the table with unwashed hands. Well, the Pharisee was shocked. The host that invited him into his home. Our text says in verse number 37. And verse number 38, the Pharisee, when he saw it, he marveled. Whoa! He didn't wash his hands. He didn't portray himself as being holy by our tradition. He was marveled. He was shocked. He was surprised. Surprised that Jesus would ignore their religious tradition of washing their hands. Well, that set up a great opportunity for Jesus. Jesus always liked to set up opportunities to say something he wanted to say. Jesus was the master of setting the circumstances to give him an opportunity to say something he'd been wanting to say anyway. So Jesus Christ walks through the wide open door and addresses the subject he wanted to address again in the home of this Pharisee. What did he do? He confronted hypocrisy. That's the second action. Jesus confronted hypocrisy. You know, religion creates hypocrites. Religion creates hypocrites. Because religion gives you external things to do that can make you look like something that you aren't. In your heart. Religion is proficient at creating hypocrisy. And so Jesus Christ confronts this hypocrisy. Look at verse number 39. Verse 39, the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees. Notice he speaks of the whole class of the Pharisees. The sect of the Pharisees. A people that Jesus Christ dealt with regularly in his ministry. People that had rebelled against Jesus Christ's teaching, denied Jesus Christ's authority, who saw themselves as being religious and clean and holy because they kept all the traditions of their fathers. They checked all the boxes. They did all the right things. You look at them from the outside. Look at the garments that they wore. Look at where they stood when they prayed. Oh, they look so holy. The Pharisees. Jesus addresses the whole class of the Pharisees. And he says in verse number 39, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Jesus takes note that the Pharisees are meticulous in cleaning the outside of the platter while ignoring the inside. Now, that's a good illustration because they're sitting or lounging, reclining at a table eating a meal. And so all over the table, there are serving dishes of food. And those serving dishes of food, are there a stack of serving dishes that they can take and they can put their food on it, or, you know, whatever. And look at the, all the Pharisees were meticulous. They made sure that the outside of the platter was clean and pure. It was spotless. And then they would offer you a plate for you to eat off from and put your food in. And the inside of the plate is filthy. It's got last week's dried mashed potatoes on it. It's got last week's mustard. Or in the reality of today, it's got peanut butter and mustard from last week, all smeared on the inside, dried on the sides. The Pharisees were meticulous in making sure the outside was spotless. But they never gave any attention to cleaning the inside. And sitting there at the table, Jesus Christ used an illustration that would be spot on. You Pharisees, when I look at you on the outside, you have a mask on. Oh, you look so holy. You look so good. You wore the right clothes. You said the right words. You look so good on the outside. But God looks on the inside. You know what He sees? He sees a corrupt heart. He sees what you think about. He sees what you watch on TV. He sees what you laugh at and find humorous. God looks at the inside. You know what God sees? God sees what you really are. He doesn't see the mask that you show to other people. He sees the reality of what you are as a person. And God looks on the inside and He sees you are a hypocrite. You hypocrite that want everyone to think you're such a good church member. You're such a good person. When in reality, you are a hypocrite. Jesus is confronting the reality of hypocrisy. In verse number 39. Look at the next verse. Look at verse number 40. In verse number 40, Jesus Christ says, "Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also?" If God makes the outside of your life, if God makes the things that we see on the outside, how you walk, how you dress, what you do on the outside, what people hear you to say, what we see on the outside, if God makes what we see on the outside, don't you think God also created what is the inside of your heart? The psalmist cried, "Oh God, create within me a clean outside." No. He said, "God created me a clean heart." See, the problem is not the mask. The problem is the heart. The problem is not what other people think you are. The problem is what God knows you are. The problem is not what you show everybody, carefully constructed to make you look good. The problem is what God knows you are in the core of your being. Jesus said with amazing common sense, He said, if God creates the outside, isn't He the same God that creates the heart, that is concerned about what's on the inside? And so in verse 41, Jesus said, you know what you ought to do? Give alms. Giving alms, it's not It's talking about the religious activities, the religious things you do, the things you do because you're a Christian, the things you do because of God. What you ought to do is you ought to give alms of that which ye have, what you have. They're at the table. He's picked up a platter. He's used a platter to illustrate the difference between the outside and the inside. On the inside is the food you have to eat. That's what you have. Jesus said what you ought to do. You ought to serve out of the inside what you have. And if you serve out of what you have, then the whole thing will be clean. In other words, if you will do what you do from your heart. If you do what you do, not so that someone will see you and think better of you. If you do what you do, not to put on a mask and make people think you're something you're not. If you would do what you do, not to put on a show. But if you would do your alms out of that which you have in your heart, then you will be clean inside and outside. The whole will be clean. If you serve God out of your heart, Jesus Christ confronts hypocrisy in bold terms. I want you to see the third action Jesus Christ takes. The third action. You see, the issue here is that religion creates hypocrites. Every religion creates hypocrites. Every religion that tells people what to do, when to do it, how to do it, creates an environment in which people can dress up the outside with a mask and make it look like they're Christian in their heart. That creates hypocrites. The issue is that religion creates hypocrites because religion provides a means of doing things that earn a religious countenance. And I appear to be clean because of what I'm doing that people can see on the outside. And yet such a religious exterior sometimes hides a putrid interior. And that's what a hypocrite is. Exposing hypocrisy. Let me show you the third action. Jesus then condemns the hypocrites who are living in hypocrisy. From verse number 42 down through several verses, we find Jesus Christ now condemning the hypocrites themselves. Verse 42 says, "But woe unto you, Pharisees." Verse 43, "Woe unto you, Pharisees." Verse number 44, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." Verse 46, "Woe unto you also, ye lawyers." Verse 47, "Woe unto you." Verse number 52, "Woe unto you, lawyers." You see, Jesus now is condemning the hypocrites for their hypocrisy. Now here's where the rubber meets the road. Jesus is now moving away from talking about the subject subjectively. And he now comes down to specifics and he lists the characteristics of hypocrites. We'd say it this way. If the Bible was being written today, you'd read this. You may just be a hypocrite if you... You may be a hypocrite if you... Now, Jesus would have said a little bit more forceful. You are a hypocrite because you... And Jesus lists, you see, six statements, six characteristics of Jesus' description of what a hypocrite does. Look at them with me. The first one, majoring on minors. Verse number 42, you tithe your mint and your rue and all manner of herbs. Oh, you're meticulous on your tithing. You know, the Jews had three different tithes. They tithed for two different purposes every year. That's 20% of their income. Every third year, they gave a third tithe for another purpose. That was a third tithe, but that was only once every 3 years. So the average Jew, if he was a religious Jew, he gave 23 1/3% of his income back to God in the three tithes that were part of their Mosaic law. And Jesus Christ said, "You Pharisees, you are so meticulous on your tithing because you bring your tithes to the temple. And you go to the big trumpet-shaped offering plates, floor stands. And you walk up and in front of everybody, you put your offerings in the big trumpet-shaped offering containers. Oh, you're careful about your tithing. You want everyone to know that you always tithe. As a matter of fact, you even collect the mint leaves in your herb garden. One for God, nine for me, one for God, nine for me. And then you take the tithe of your mint leaves and you bring them to the temple to give to the priest to use. Oh, you're so careful. You're so meticulous. God never said to tithe on your mint leaves. Oh, but these religious traditionalists, these hypocrites that created all these man-made religious traditions, they wanted everyone to know how holy they were, how spiritual they were. So they were meticulous about their tithing of their mint leaves. But Jesus said, but you know what you'd leave out? The judgment of God and the love of God. You skip the doctrine of hell. You gloss over the judgment against sin. You ignore what God said He'll do regarding sin. You take a quick sidestep around sin. The judgment of God. The Bible says marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Never preach on that one. There's too many people shacking up. There's too many people living immorally. We dare not preach on that because that's going to cause some, that's going to ruffle some feathers. We'll skip over the judgment of God. Oh, but we'll make sure everyone sees us put our mint leaf in. And they skip over the love of God that sent Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. The love of God that came to bear the sin of man on the cross of Calvary and endure the judgment of God so that man could be forgiven. Oh, they'll skip the love of God. But they'll talk about the mint leaves. What is this? This is majoring on the minor. You just may be a hypocrite if you're more concerned about somebody else's little piddly thing when you've got a glaring problem in your life, but you never talk about that. You just may be a hypocrite if you major on the minors in other person's lives and gloss over the majors in your own lives. Or we could call this wrong priorities in life. Wrong priorities. Here's the second thing. Look at verse number 43. Woe unto you, Pharisees. You love the uppermost seats of the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Oh, reputation above character. Oh, you love the upper seats. You want to be seen in the marketplace and in the synagogue. When everyone comes into the synagogue, you want to make sure that they give you that choice elevated seat where everyone will say, whoa, so-and-so is so holy. Oh, you want to be seen. You want people to think you're somebody. Reputation above character. I'm more concerned with what you think I am than what God knows me to be. Reputation above character. Look at verse 44. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. By the way, that thing about reputation above character, think of that in terms of today's selfie generation that goes into depression if they don't have enough likes on social media. Do they ever go into depression because God knows what they are in their heart? No, they go into depression because of what people think of them. I want people to think good of me. I want lots of likes on my social media. I am consumed with being viewed by others as being special. But I don't spend any time on my face before God finding out what God knows me to be in my heart. Hypocrite. Hypocrite. You just may be a hypocrite if you're more concerned about what people think you are then you are concerned about what God knows you to be. Reputation above character. Look at verse number 44. This is an amazing one. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and men that walk over them are not aware of them. That's a strange thing. When Jesus dealt with this subject, he catered it to the specific people that were in front of him. He's God. He knows exactly what each person in front of him is dealing with. You see, when you read this subject matter in Matthew 23, you'll read at this point in dealing with the subject matter that Jesus Christ said, ye are like whitened sepulchres. You look so good on the outside, all painted up, whitewashed. You look so good on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. Well, Jesus changed that on this when he dealt with the subject matter on this occasion. He changed that, totally changed the illustration and the analogy. He almost flip-flopped it and reversed it. Instead of talking about whitewashed sepulchres that look good on the outside, but on the inside they're corrupt, he said, you are like graves which appear not. They're not whitewashed. They don't stand out. You can't tell it's a grave. You see, this came from a different custom. This came from the Jews were very concerned about ceremonial uncleanness, and they couldn't be near a dead body or touch a dead body. That made them ceremonially unclean. They were very concerned about that. So they would whitewash, when they buried their loved one in a tomb, in a cave, they would whitewash it so everyone would know there's a dead body in there. But some of them wouldn't whitewash it. So you'd walk by it, you wouldn't know there was a dead body in there. You wouldn't know it was a burial place. It's just a... And so you might walk up and lean up against the rock and have a conversation, or lean up against the wall. Because it's a grave that does not appear to be a grave, people can come by and not avoid it because they don't know it's a grave. They walk over them and are not aware of them. They become ceremonially unclean and they don't even know it because they didn't know it was a grave. What's Jesus getting at? This is extremely interesting to me. Concealed wickedness. Concealed wickedness. You're like a person who doesn't reveal that it's a grave. It's concealed from the public. They don't know someone's buried there. They don't know someone's buried there. And so your outside does not alert others to the real person you are internally. Let me say that again. Would you listen carefully to those words? This is Jesus' point. It's a total change from the other times he dealt with the subject. He inserted that here. My only assumption is because someone there in that room needed the illustration tweaked to their situation. And Jesus changed the illustration from other places where he preached the same material. And Jesus said, your outside does not alert others to the real person you are internally. They can get close to you without realizing that you are subjecting them to your wicked influence. You're like a grave that is not known to be a grave. A corrupt heart, but no one knows the heart is corrupt because the outside does not reflect the reality of the inner corruption. And so someone can get close to you without realizing that they're subjecting themselves to your wicked influence. They get close to you thinking you'll be a good influence on them because they see the outside looks religious and good. They don't know that there's concealed wickedness. The outside does not reveal what you really are. And so someone can say, I want my teenager to hang around with that teenager. Because on the outside that I can see, look like they'd be a good influence on my teenager. And just like a grave that's not marked, inside is death and corruption, but nobody knows. Because the outside conceals the inner wickedness. And so they get close to you without realizing that rather than being a good influence, you're going to be a bad influence on them. They think that the two of you together will be a good influence on each other. They don't realize that you're going to be a bad influence on each other. You're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. You've got a mask on. And on the outside, everyone thinks you're such a good Christian. They don't know that on the inside, you are corrupt. What you love is corrupt. What you enjoy is corrupt. What your plans are corrupt. What you talk about is corrupt. What is meaningful to you is corrupt. But it's all hid from view, concealed, so that no one will know they're walking over a tomb of corruption. And after you get close to that person, or after you allow your child to get close to that person with the expectation that person is going to be a good influence on your child, and then they begin to spend time together and they begin to talk together and they lower the facade a little bit and they begin to talk about who they really are. They begin to find out what they really like. What movies do you like? What music do you listen to? What sites do you surf to? They begin to talk and they begin to find out. And the real person that you are on the inside corrupts the other person. Before they know it, they've led you or you've led them into sinfulness. Parents, are you listening? Jesus Christ is describing one of the characteristics of a hypocrite. It's a person that looks on the outside like they'll be a good influence on your child. When in reality, what you see on the outside is just a mask that is hiding the corruption of the heart of that person. And they will ruin your child. I was talking to my brother Sam last week. He's been down working on Mom's townhouse, getting it ready to put on the market. And so we've been spending some time together, and we were talking. He said, you know, my brother Sam has been in the ministry for 40 years. He's most of that time working with families with teenagers, most of that time working with the parents of teenagers and with the teens themselves. He said, so back when our daughter, Jamie, was just young, we had her in the school there at the church, but the church didn't have all the grades, and so they weren't adding grades to keep pace with where Jamie was in school, so they had to find another school for their child, Jamie. So he said that they found another Christian school in the area, and he went and he visited that Christian school, and he went to the teacher. He said, "Would you give me the names of the three most godly girls in this class, spiritual girls who have a love for God, who are real and genuine and transparent?" And they gave him the names of three girls. And he and Susan sat down with Jamie and said, "Jamie, here are your new friends. Here's who we want you to talk to at school. Here's who we want you to get to know. Here's who we want you to become friends with." Because my brother had worked with families long enough to know that one of the quickest ways to lose your child is to let them get close to someone who's a hypocrite, who looks good on the outside, but inside they're corrupt to the core. My brother said, it could have backfired in our face. Those three girls could have been hypocrites. But as it turned out, each one of them were what the teacher said that they were. They were godly girls. They had a hunger for God, a thirst for the things of God. And Jamie grew up with those three girls through their school years. All of them are serving God today. All of them are vested in ministry and working and serving God. Those girls were an important part of Jamie's upbringing. My brother said, there were times growing up that they didn't allow their daughter to play or go over to the home or get close to some of the other kids in the church. And as a pastor, he had parents come to him and say, "Why won't you let Jamie be close to our daughter?" And he said, I had to explain to some parents why we wouldn't let our daughter get close to their daughter. And it caused some struggles. Some people had a hard time understanding that. But he says, you know, in the end, he was more concerned about Jamie than he was concerned about doing what everyone else wanted him to do or thought he ought to do. Because you know something? One of the characteristics of a hypocrite is someone who in their heart, they are corrupt, but you'd never know it until you get close to them and find out what they're really like. And that is a mark of hypocrisy. God help us, parents. Your kids will oftentimes become what you allow them to hang around and develop closeness with. Never forget that Amnon couldn't bring himself to molesting his sister until the Bible says, but Amnon had a friend. And his friend made it possible for him to do what he couldn't bring himself to do. Parents, be careful. Hypocrites will destroy your children. And it doesn't matter if they're in the church or out of the church. Hypocrites will destroy your children. Be careful about hypocrites. This is hard stuff. Is this hard stuff or what? That's why in verse number 45, a lawyer said, man alive, said, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. Whoa! Cut us some slack. Jesus, it's hot in here. You see, the lawyers were the ones who studied and taught the law to the Pharisees. It was the lawyers' interpretation of Scripture that formed the foundation of what the Pharisees lived out. And so Jesus turns his attention to the lawyers. But because of time, I'm going to refrain from doing what I want to do, and that is finish this sermon. We'll have to pick it up at another time. Oh, listen. Hypocrisy is real. Hypocrisy was a real problem 2,000 years ago. It's a real problem today. We live in a religious culture filled with traditionalism, Catholicism, Anglicanism, Protestantism, even liberal Baptists, that have created man-made religions that if you check all the right boxes, everyone will think you are really good. And Jesus Christ said, that is corrupt. What's on the outside is not nearly as important as what's on the inside. I got to ask you the question. We looked at, what was it, three of the six? Three of the six characteristics of hypocrisy? Do you major on minors? Are you quick to condemn someone else for what they do when you're doing far worse, but you don't say a thing about what you're doing? Do you major on minors? What was the second one? Love. Do you love the praise of man? Are you so wrapped up with what everyone thinks about you more than what God thinks about you? And if truth were told, on the inside of your heart, are you filled with wickedness that your exterior is carefully concealing so no one will know what you're really like? If so, you are a hypocrite. That's what Jesus said. You know what Jesus wants? He doesn't want you to just feel bad about being a hypocrite. Because we're all hypocrites at one stage or another of our lives or one level or another. You know what Jesus wants? Jesus wants you to come clean with Him. He wants you to get with God and say, God, the Holy Spirit is raking me over the coals. I feel so guilty. I am a hypocrite. God wants the Holy Spirit to bring to your heart the reality of what He sees so that you'll get on your knees before Him and say, oh God, would You wash me? Would You clean me up on the inside? Would You make me holy on the inside? That's what God wants. He confronts you because He wants you to come clean through the power of the Spirit of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, which washes sin away and creates within us a new and a clean heart. You're here today and you're a hypocrite. Would you take a moment to talk to God about it? Lord willing, in another message, we'll finish this message and look at the other characteristics. But would you this morning talk to God for a moment about what the Holy Spirit has made you uncomfortable with? And would you desire your heart to be as clean on the inside as we think you are when we look on the outside?